Say praise the Lord. Somebody say, I know my hope is in the Lord. Amen. Why don't you turn around, shake somebody's hand, tell them you're glad to see him in the house of God tonight. Amen. What a privilege it is to be back in church, gentlemen. Good to see you. Good to be here, isn't it? Amen. Play a little bit more of that, brothers. Let's look at our prayer requests tonight. First and foremost, we want to pray for Brother Darrell, Brother David, Brother Danny, as they left yesterday, I think, for Nicaragua. I believe that's where they were going. And We certainly want to pray that the Lord would just give them a safe journey, give them souls for the reward, and may God just bless them and be with them. Brother Ben Goulds has been sick for 2 weeks. They told him that he has mono, fever over 102, vomiting. So they're asking that we would remember Ben in prayer tonight as we pray. Also, our grandson, Peyton Henley, he's suffering from the same symptoms today. He's very sick, needs a healing touch from the Lord. If you'd remember those two young men in prayer tonight, I want to pray for Sister Gail Clark. She has to go tomorrow for a procedure on her eyes. Let's pray that all will be well with her. Brother Joshua Adam Snodgrass is wanting you to pray for him tonight. Sick, not feeling well. Thank you, and may God bless. So let's pray for Brother Joshua tonight. I want to pray for Sister Janet Kennedy's son, Chris. He has a collapsed colon and is very sick. Needs a touch from God. Let's pray for that need tonight. Brother Burt wants us to remember Brother Samuel Shuffler, who is homesick tonight and needs a healing touch from the Lord. This is from the Bean family. The Binkleys want to thank the Lord for His mercy and you for your prayers. Sister Sharon got out of the hospital on Monday. It is a cyst on the base of her brain. There's no cancer. Thank God for that. The vessels beside the cyst have enlarged and rerouted so that there is no blockage of brain fluid. They hope to be back here in church this coming weekend. So we praise the Lord for that. May God bless the Binkleys tonight. Sister Shirley Robbins still wants us to remember Brother Greg in prayer, taking him a while to get his strength back, still having shortness of breath and coughing very bad. So let's pray for our brother. We love Brother Greg and Sister Shirley, don't we? Amen. Brother Phillips, Sister Brittany Elliott says, please pray for our friend Rachel Whitaker and her baby Patrick. The doctors had to take the baby during her fifth month. He is stable, but in the intensive care unit with a small brain hemorrhage and only weighing 2 pounds and 13 ounces. He was not supposed to survive the birth. Through prayer, he has made it thus far. Thank you. And let's continue to pray for those folks. I want to pray for an unspoken prayer request for Teresa Carter, that the Lord would be mindful of her, whatever that situation would be tonight. If you have an unspoken prayer request, by the raising of your hand, you believe we're serving a God that's bigger than all of our problems? I believe it with all my heart, don't you? Let's sing the little chorus thanks tonight just before we pray, and then we'll go before the Lord on behalf of all these needs tonight. Sing it, buddy. I've got a frog or something.
We want to say thanks, thanks. I give you thanks.
God bless you. Let's invite the presence of our Lord into this service. Appreciate our brother John tonight. God bless you, buddy. Appreciate you. Phil, sorry about that.
Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, it's a privilege, Lord, even to be here, Father, and Lord, to ask you, Father, and knowing that we're sons and daughters of yours, Lord, that you'd take care of us, Father. You do. Lord, and we'd ask, Father, that you'd bless all these requests, Father, that I hold in my hand. Lord, I certainly don't remember them, Lord, but you never forget. Father, we'd ask that you'd bless these requests, Lord, these things, and the requests of the people would raise their hands. Father, we're trusting, Father, that you'll be able to and will bless them, Lord, according to your will. Father, we ask it, Lord, in your name. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Phil. God bless you tonight. Amen. I was looking at Brother John and talking to you. I'm sorry about that. Brother John, you blessed our heart here last Wednesday night. Did you enjoy his message here last Wednesday night? Just the word of the Lord was good, wasn't it? Amen. Let's sing a song tonight. There's no one greater than Jesus. Somebody say, I believe that. Somebody say, I know that's the truth. Amen. Let us make a couple of announcements just before we sing tonight. Ushers, if you'll come, we'll receive the evening offering. Linda Green is visiting tonight with us in this service. That's Sister Janet Barron's neighbor. Is that right? Where would you be? Would you just raise your hand? Right back here. Give her a nice hand tonight. God bless you. And let me make this announcement. Will whoever remove the key from the video booth, please return it. And the rest of the note says, or buy us a new lock. So you can return the key or buy a lock, whichever one you'd rather do. You might have took it accidentally, but if you do have that key, please see that it goes back to the video booth. Would you do that? All right. Let's sing that song. Brother Harry, there's no one greater than Jesus. And there's nobody sings it greater than you. Well, let's sing about it tonight.
How we started.
I was so barren.
That's what it's really saying.
I was so bound up. My life was so tied up. No peace within. Chains could not hold me. So lonely, so shackled with sin. Who is that coming from the other side?
Oh, yes.
Of the sea? These eyes of compassion, they're piercing through me. For my multiple relations, so shackled with sin. In at noonday,
oh, yes,
when the sun was burning down, hid my face from embarrassment, from my lifestyle so bad. Sitting on a well, my story of life, he began to tell. I've forgiven you, Samaritan. I will call you daughter from out of your soul with glory.
Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you tonight. You can be seated. Sister Jessica Benton has a song for us tonight. Brother Caleb has a song for us. So if they'll, Sister Jessica, if you'll come on, be getting ready to sing. Brother Caleb, if you'll come and get ready to sing, as soon as she sings, we'll go right on into the service tonight. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? Don't you love to come to the house of God? Amen. Let's enjoy our singers tonight as they sing for us.
Just a little lump of clay, and if my strength is to no avail, it doesn't mean that I have failed. For when I'm weak, Lord, you're made strong. There is nothing going wrong. You've brought me to this place, right where I belong. Right where I belong. Your grace and your love through the years has brought me along. Who am I? Who am I? Who am I? You've taken me to this place, right where I belong. Who am I, Lord? Consider me. I'm just a lump of vanity, like the flower that blooms then fades away. This mortal life withers every day, but you've given eternal life. You've even made me your virtuous wife. You brought me to this place, right where I belong. Who am I, Lord? Let me die. Just let your name be glorified. At your service, Lord, I stand. Your wish, O Lord, is my command, for you died to set me free, and you did it so willingly to bring me to this place, right where I belong, right where your grace and your love. to this place, right where I belong.
Where would I be without your love? What kind of life would I be guilty of? If not for your redeeming hand that reached so low to raise me up and let me stand. By your grace, for your glory, I am here to tell the story. All the doors you've opened for me, I might live and I might love, I might live. Strength have I survived. My reckless steps and my selfish pride, not by these works of righteousness, I owe it all to you alone that I am blessed. By your grace, for your glory, I am here to tell the story of all the doors you've opened for me, that I might give and I might love, I might live.
We sung this verse and chorus of a song. Oh, it's an old song. Y'all help me. In a manger long ago, I know it's really so. A babe was born to save men from their sins. John saw him on the shore, the Lamb forevermore. Oh, Christ the crucified, Calvary. Forgiven all my sins, place the Holy Ghost within. Oh, I love that man from Galilee. The lame were made to walk, the dumb were made to talk. That power was spoken with love upon the sea. The blind was made to see. I know it could only be the mercy of that man from Galilee. Oh, I love that man from Galilee. For he's done so very much for me. He's forgiven all my sins, placed the Holy Ghost within. Oh, I love that man from Galilee.
Aren't you glad you love him?
Amen.
More importantly, aren't you glad he loves you?
Amen.
2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. Before we read the scripture, I'd like to say I appreciated all those that went down to Brother Bill's service the other night, Sunday night. All those from the church here. I certainly appreciate you coming and being part of that service. Probably of all the different aspects of preachers, the fivefold ministry, the pastors are the ones who probably fight it more, that the people get tired of hearing you. They don't like you preaching, and they pretty well know the way you preach and all that after 20-some years. If you don't know it by now, you'll never know it. But a little something like that, you know, it just does something to you whenever people are tired. I know you were tired, and we soared in heavenly places Saturday night and Sunday, so I know your wings were tired coming back down. And yet, you were able, those of you that could, to be able to go down. It just meant a lot to me, and it meant a lot to Brother Bill as well, but I certainly appreciated you coming. Also, Brother Tracy was in the hospital there Sunday night, and Brother Jimmy had emailed me, so I wanted to go around by and see him and have prayer for him, so I didn't get to stick around and shake some of your hands. Got to speak to just a couple of the different brothers that was there, but I wanted you to know I did appreciate it. Let's read together, if you would, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. And I'd like to speak to you again tonight on the secret of our lives. For we know if this earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God. An house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. Now note, it's already possessive. It's not something that actually will become yours after a while. It's already yours right now.
Amen.
Our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now let's read this in Melchizedek that we've been looking at. Paragraph 110. Therefore, the theophany, if you have died and entered into that theophany, what happens? The theophany comes to the earth to pick up the redeemed body. And if you're here in the air, you take the body to meet the theophany. So the theophany is not you. Actually, the seed is you. It didn't say you, that the theophany was you. But you, do you understand that that part that he's talking about is right here tonight in this house? And if you're in the air, you take the body to meet the theophany. You take the body to meet the theophany. There you are. And called up and go to meet the Lord in the air. Now we see here plainly the complete secret of our lives in journey and death and where we go after we die. Also, predestination is in plain view here. Now watch as we teach this closely. the stages of the eternal purpose he had in his secret has now been revealed. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, we so love you tonight. We're grateful, Lord Jesus, that we've been included in this great, great program of God. I ask you tonight, Lord, that you'd take your word once again. Oh my, how many times since I came here back in the late 80s, Lord, have I stood in the pulpit over there before we built this new place, and then how many years have I stood here? Some of these same people, Lord, many of them we've buried them. Many of them, Lord God, we've committed them to the ground and committed their soul to you. But Lord, we know this word is not being preached in vain. So I pray once again, would you come tonight, Lord? Would you take your word and speak to us again, Father? Grant it, dear God, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, friends. You may be seated. What a world of contrast that a real believer actually envelops. To be part of a world that is eternal, part of the essence of a character from eternity that can never pass away. Part of you right here tonight, those of you that are truly born again, that something down inside of you never started. It never can end. It can never get away from God because it never was away from God. But yet there's another part of you that is so earthly, so terrestrial, so carnal, so unregenerated away from the presence of God. Now what a condition that puts you, the real you, that is held captive in this type of a body. Then to create such a being that God allowed to come into this type of a state. Now we know that it had to all be of no surprise to him. And in order to express the fullness of his attributes, he allowed this sin to be able to take place. For he could have spoke all of his attributes into creation by the spoken word, and we would have totally bypassed this world as we know it now. But yet he would have never been fully manifested in the attributes of all that he was, since he could only be made known as a healer in time. He could only be made known as a savior if something was lost. So he cannot create sin in order to let you fall and then come and pick you up and then allow himself to be a savior. He is not a creator of sin. Sin is not a Christian anyway. It's a perversion. So he had to allow it to happen in such a way. And in order to do that, he must be just in the way that he does it. So he allowed it to take place. He allowed one man to represent us all. And that man, of course, being Adam, that man would make a choice and he would fall away from the word. By doing so, he would put every one of his race under that fall, knowing that everyone who would come to the earth, God knew their name. It's overwhelming, but Brother Bram said he's so great, he's so omnipotent, he knew every gnat that would ever be on the earth and how many times it would bat its eyes. Now the next time you think you're big enough to run your own life, you better think about how big God is. And then you better go back to being a human being. Now you imagine every gnat that ever lived on the earth and how many times that it bats its eyes and how much tallow that it would make. Now you imagine all the great things that there is about him and a lot of the things that man is even learning now about our bodies, about science, about plants, about all the species, about all the things that there is on the earth. All of this is in God's great mind. All of that was in his great existence before there was ever a man on the earth. Of all the things that he's done. And yet you say, but why is God out of control? Is the situation the way it is here tonight? Many of you sick. You've got things in your body. You've got battles that you're fighting. Things you're going through. Is God out of control? By no means he's not out of control. Did he make you sick? Did he make you suffer? Of course not. But yet he knew that it would come to this place. But the great thing about it is that when a Christian goes through trials, God will allow that to make something out of you and make you a better person. Now when the world goes through their things, I mean they get sick and they die and they get some of the same things that you and I get, it doesn't benefit them one bit. But yet for us, when we go through trials, it makes our faith stronger. We come out with a more pure, more perfect character, something that will be a greater representation of him. Now I know that this part tonight that we're going to look at, it might not be as great to you as the predestinated, the unseen, the foreknown,
all that, but yet really what we're going to deal with tonight is just as much a part as the secret of your life as it was when you was a thought in the mind of God as an attribute. Now, there is a purpose by which God allowed us to come down here, and that is what Brother Branham called the testing of His Word. Now, to God, this is a very great important thing. And there's only one way that God can allow the Word to be tested. And that is for a power that seems almost as great as the Word to be able to combat that Word. Now, I preached it to you many, many years ago that God needed an enemy, and God cannot create sin. So God created an angel that was so great, that was so close to Himself, that he was everything that God was except a creator. Now, this angel, of course, being Lucifer, in the beginning, his original name, Star, Light Bringer, all the titles that God gave him. He was a great, great, powerful angel. He was one that wanted to be like God, had all kinds of great power and authority in heaven, and whenever he fell, he kept much of that dominion and that power, in so much that even angels that are beneath him, that have maintained their place, they have to approach him in the right way. Now, whenever you think of God, then, if he was going to, you and I was going to pick on somebody at school, we wouldn't pick on the bully if we wanted to prove something. But we'd try to find somebody, and we'd eye them up and down. We'd get a guy with a crippled arm, a broke leg, you know, and a throat out, something or another. We'd go over and wear him out, prove how big we was. But that ain't what God done. If God was going to need an enemy, it must be one that is almost identical to himself. Now, in doing this, it will bring right up to what he is and try and prove what he is. But if the devil was a little bitty old T90 thing that couldn't really do nothing, had no authority, had no ability to do much, and then God whooped him, that wouldn't be much of a testimony. But whenever God gets it all done, now you remember what he's dealing with, an enemy that is so much like himself, that Brother Bram tells us in Question and Answer 1959, that he was the next greatest person in heaven next to God. So he was a being that was really quite something when you think about it. But yet God, knowing what happens, so God must try his word. Now the word cannot be tried just when it's in the Bible form or in the word, in the written format. It must be tried as its greatest potential is reached when that word is made flesh. Now I know it seems to us that it weakens that word, but the way God looks at it, it doesn't weaken it at all. It actually makes it more profound. And it's the same way in the trying of the word. Now we know when something, a promise is written in the word, Brother Bram said today, as long as it's laying in the word, it can still be questioned or not. Will it come to pass, or will it be fulfilled or not? As long as it's written in the word, it can be questioned. But once it is made manifest, then it can no longer be questioned, because the word interpreted is now being revealed. So God had a way by which the word must be tried. Now if the attributes of God, which are predestinated to eternal life, if they are the word, then the word must be tried. Now, much of what you and I go through, it is not, friends, because we're Reagans and Babs and Phillipses and all that sort of thing. It is actually the word in us that is being tried. This is part of the secret of our lives. When the Lord Jesus came to the earth, he could have overcome everything that was ever before him in the form of theophany or in the form of God, but he would have never been able to convey the power of redemption by dying and standing there as an angel, are overcoming in the form of a God. But he did it in the form of a man. So he lowered himself to such a place that the word could be tried in a human being. Now this is where that you and I, you know, many times it's not that actually the word gets away from us or the power gets away from us. It's just us thinking that it does. In Ever Present Water from the Rock, 1961, Brother Bram tells us that the children of Israel thought that God had left them. He said that God had never left them, but they thought he did. Now you realize, even though God doesn't, but if you and I think he does, it renders him powerless in order to do anything for us, because they think, he don't love me. He's gone from me. He's gone away from me. How many people have I known, and you too, that backslid and got away from God because they felt like God got away from them first, which is not the truth. But the word must be tried. Now, it's not going to be God, you know, allowing scoffers and, all kinds of people out here say, oh, that Bible ain't the truth. Why that Malachi 4? That Luke said, why, that's a bunch of nonsense. That's not the way the word is tried. But when the word is made flesh in the hearts and the lives of believers, then Satan combats that word. Now think, If the word being tried could only be tried in book format, then how in the world did Eve ever fall since there's no written Bible? There was no King James, there was no new Revised Version, there was no written word. But yet she had been given by the authority of her husband, he had told her what God had said, there was nothing written down, there was nothing that they could look and read every morning and have a daily devotional, something that they read in the Garden of Eden. But yet God had gave them the word had been committed to her husband, which was the head, and the head reverberated no doubt over and over and over to her, and the word was now made flesh in the man. And then the man passes this on down to the woman and tells her, this is what God has said. Now the word must be tried. So Satan starts in the Garden of Eden trying the word. Now he cannot really come against the word, the person of the word as far as Elohim. But it's when he condescends from that state and he breaks himself down and gives a portion of himself to his children. And then he tells him, defend yourself now with this word. Take what you are and what I give you, and you will be undefeatable. Do you understand, friend, that whenever we get the word, the message of the hour, it is only uniting with what we are in our soul. So it comes, the word written comes to the word manifested, and that makes you absolutely undefeatable in the presence of God. Unless, of course, he renders you powerless by convincing you that your weapons are no match for his. Now, if he can convince you that his power is greater than you, his authority, he knows more about it than you, he renders you totally limp and lifeless, as if though you had no weapons at your disposal at all. Now, whenever that happens, you understand that it's not just so much after your flesh. Look, if you live 70 years old, 80 years old, 90 years old, what's that compared to the devil? He's been around for thousands, no doubt tens of thousands of years in his original form and thousands of years in his fallen form. So what is your measly life of 50 to 60 years to the devil? What is that something? He's not after you. He's tripped up kings. He's tripped up prophets. He's tripped up great men. Do you think it's you? Reagan or a Babb or a Livingston or whatever more, a Horn, you think that's what he's after? More flesh? It's that word. It's that word. The testing of that word. Now this is part of the mystery of our lives, the secret of our lives, that in order to make this stage where it is, we had to bypass the theophany. Coming through the theophany would have put us in a different state altogether. Then we would have been truly like Jesus himself. But we had to bypass. And we not only bypass living in that realm, but we actually bypass the knowledge of knowing that we had one there. Now Jesus, you know, Jesus came in the form of Melchizedek, which was a theophany. Then he later, we don't see Melchizedek no more, he later becomes Jesus Christ. But when Jesus came to the earth, he knew that he pre-existed. He knew that he had come from God. His walk was not a walk in the sense of being a faith walk. I believe I am. You believe you are. Do we not? We believe our name is on the book of life. But yet I do not have any memory of being in the mind of God. I do not have anything about me that can identify and go back. Oh, I remember that tree. I remember that. No, my mind has been totally blocked from that. But yet my journey will be one which will be consisting of faith through grace through faith through the perpetuation of God's provided lamb. So I bypass everything about the theophany until I hear the message of the hour. And then I make my first contact. Glory! You might live many years of your life without even knowing there was a theophany until you hear the word of God for the hour, and then you heard from your theophany. Now in this part of the secret of our lives is that the word itself will be taken from the Bible. It will be taken from the tapes you hear, from the books you read, from the sermons that you travel about and hear different men of God preaching. That word is building another person on the inside of you. Now we know when we come to church that, you know, maybe you needed 20% of that service. Somebody else maybe got 30%, somebody else 40%. And then again, there may be times when you come to church, you may not get 5% because God was focusing on one particular thing in the church service that night. But the thing you want to focus, hell, I got to have 100% every night. Come on, now don't be selfish like a hog. Let God do what he wants to do. If tonight you're 5% night, take that 5%, smile and go home, and come back Saturday night, maybe it'll be 75%. But the thing we want to do is receive everything that the mind of God has for us in every service. And then we take that, God then is adding what? It's that building blocks of that new body that's been formed on the inside of you. Because the word is building a person, another person on the inside of you around that new birth. Glory to God. The word is building, and that's what must be tried. And sometimes God will allow it to be tried to such a place that the human part will think, I cannot go another step. I cannot take another day of this life. Now it ain't the soul that says that. Turn with me if you will to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The chapter prior to this great chapter 5 now. Now I want you to listen to these great words of the apostle Paul. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure. And the Greek words here are actually, instead of earthen vessels, jars of clay. So we have this great divine treasure put in a jar of clay. Why would God bury eternal life in a jar of clay? A treasure that is so profound, the angels still marvel at it, how great it is. And God would send it down and put it in jars of clay and put a lid on that jar and bury that treasure in that jar of clay. Now, God's way, let's just face it, friends, God's way is so profound. There's no way you and I can understand it without revelation, but we just can't do it. Now, he says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels or the jars of clay, that the excellency of the power, this is why, that the excellency of the doxa, the power, would be of God and not of us. You see, if God transformed our body and we were some great something or another, and then we say, well, I'm deserving of such a thing. But to take such a treasure and put it in a dirt bag? I'm talking about this now. Now look at this in verse 8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Troubled and yet not distressed. Perplexed, but yet not in despair. But I want you, I don't know if you've ever looked at this or not, but I want you to look carefully with me at how close these words, their meanings are. Troubled, suffer tribulation, to press as grapes, press hard upon a compressed way. Now we are troubled, we are pressed as grapes. But then he says, but yet not distressed, which is straightened to be in a narrow place and compress, cramp, reduce to straits. Now we're pressed, but not compressed. That's close, ain't it? but it's just close enough to keep you from blowing your brains out. Look at this. Why would God allow us? Would not the battle and the victory be so far apart, the place that you walk? Look, the place you're tested to and where you are sometimes lays so close that you're pressed like grapes. Of course, you press grapes to get the juice out of it, to make wine, to make more stimulation. Glory. So Paul says, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Now it's not like that he said, oh, we're troubled, and it don't even bother us. Oh my, oh, we're just so happy every day. Everything's going good. You're on lower tabs. I'm going to see your picture in the paper as one of them people calling in getting your dope. That ain't the way it is, friend. We're traveling and there's so much anxiety and it's all around us everywhere. But we're not stressed to the place that we can't go on. He didn't say that there wasn't stress. He didn't say that it wasn't close, that it wasn't bad sometimes. But he said the thing about it is we're stressed all right and we're troubled all right. But there's a little spot there. Many times it's not like this. You're tested and tried to this place, but you got from here way over to here. You say, man, I got plenty of strength in reserve. But sometimes it seems like it's about like that. Actually, in the original Greek, it is pressed, but not oppressed. Literally, the words mean being at a loss, but not utterly at a loss. Oh, there's a difference, huh? Wow, I mean, I was thinking like, you know, from the Atlantic to the ocean, to the Pacific. I was thinking about that much difference. I'm sorry. It ain't that way. It is not that way. Why, Brother Donnie? Why? The testing of his word. Now remember, this is not a backslider saying this. This is not a man that's backslid on God. A man that's cold on God. This is the man of God of the age. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed. Look at your word. Stand in doubt. To be without resources. To be in straits. To be left wanting. To be embarrassed. To be in doubt. Not to know which way to turn. That ought to make some of you folks shout. I just described much of your walk with God. You pray about this and pray about that. Oh God, help me. Oh God, help me. How many of you know it's the same way with you as a Christian? You say, God, I don't know why I'm going through this. I don't know why this is going on. Oh, but friend, when the testing of this word is over, then we go back into that body we bypassed. But we leave here with success. The word that was allocated to you was able to stand the test. Perplexed. Standing down. To be without resources. Isn't this amazing? This is the same man who wrote in Philippians, my God will supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Perplexed. Brought by the chain of circumstances that they had no explanation of. Explain this, Paul. You're a deliverer. Somebody told me in the last meeting you had, they had to let you down the wall in a basket at night. Sound like to me, you're a chicken. Thought you was an eagle. Why didn't you fly over the top of that wall and condemn that bunch of devils and say, you touched me as a prophet of God? This is on your resume. You fled out of there by night like a coward. Praise the Lord. The testing of his word. Oh my goodness. Notice this. Trouble. troubled on every side, yet not distressed, perplexed, but not in despair. Despair. To be utterly at loss. Be utterly destitute of measures or resources. Okay, right. I understand this now. I understand this. Because perplexed meant to be without resources. And despair meant to be destitute of resources. Hello? Anybody home? No, wait a minute, Brother Johnny. I thought that from where I walked with God and where God wanted me to be, I mean, I'd be like here and like everything else. I mean, there'd be a big gulf fixed between me and trouble. What preacher told you that lie? Do you see how close? One word. Utterly. One word. And hearing this word, my, as it goes on with these parallels, we are perplexed, but not in despair. Now look at the latter part of the meaning of this word. To renounce all hope. Now he actually moves into the phase of no resources, seem like. But something within him will not let him say, there is no hope. Glory. Oh, glory to God. There was no way to find it. How am I going to do it? I don't know. How's it going to work out? I don't know. But faith, that little bitty line, that little edge of walking on the sword's edge, that's the difference. It will not let that soul say, there is no hope. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Notice, he says, persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. This is quite a sermon to win converts to Christ, isn't it? And this is what you're preaching to people that are lost, and you're telling them this is what it's going to be like when you become a Christian. The first seed of God, they'll say, that's what I want. That's what I want. Yes, sir. Why? Because you're still left with that something inside of you. That soul will never say, there's no hope. I'm so far gone. There is no way the soul cannot say that. Your body might say it. Your mind might think it. And all your other elements may say it. But that soul down on the inside will say, the Lord gave and the Lord took away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But Brother Donnie, why? It's that deposit of the word that must be tested to that very place. To where sometimes you'd almost have to take a spiritual microscope and divide the two. That little tiny spot that's between you and total despair. That little sliver of light that's between you and totally giving up. But it's between you. Oh, glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Now, friends, this is not a Christianity that this modern age wants to hear preached. I'm not sure a lot of message folks do. To bear about a Christianity that bears in your body the dying of the Lord Jesus. How in the world could a Christian do that? That's not my question. My question is, how could a true Christian not? Because as he was here persecuted on the earth, being the Word, and that Word was tried. And if we have been the recipients of His grace and His life has been transmitted down to us, will not the same enemy with the same power, with the same world, hate that same life? Unless you're just a counterfeit. If you're a counterfeit, then of course He ain't going to hate you. But if you have the same life that Jesus had, will not He hate you? Now watch how he divides this verse. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus, amen, might be made manifest in our body. So here we're bearing about in our body his death, but by doing so, we are bearing about in our body his life. Notice this, that the life of Jesus, the life of Jesus. Here is a corpse-like body that is barely living sometimes. But the phenomena of the resurrection is that that supernatural power can come inside this type of a body and sustain it and help it to go through tests and trials, and it's not even truly born again yet. But the life of Jesus, notice he says, bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body, which we which are alive are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. Can you understand this? God manifests life in our dying. And he manifests glory, death in our living. Can't you see why you can feel pulled between two worlds all the time? Because part of you is dying, part of you is death. For those of you who think your body is so holy and so sanctified and so wonderful, I will remind you of what Brother Bram said in the rising of the sun, as I heard him say it again today, that you put a body in a casket and you lock it up airtight. And he said, them bugs will destroy you because them bugs are in you right now. Your own skin worms are in you right now. So tell me, how in the world can that body of yours be in that perfect state and have death inside you? It's not in that perfect state. But them skin worms are in you tonight. He says you ain't nothing but a bunch of bugs anyway. Well, that's real encouraging, ain't it? But praise God, that soul on the inside is going to lead these bugs to a new body. Glory. Hallelujah. Now notice, part of the secret then of our lives, bypassing the theophany. So what do you run into when you bypass? Now, a lot of bypasses are good. You're going into the outer loop of Chicago. You're going around Atlanta, hit 285. You're going to different places. Those bypasses are put there to direct you, hopefully, around the main artery of the traffic. Bypasses in the heart have saved many, many people's lives. They go in there, and you know the procedure, how they're able to do it. We thank God for all that. But this type of a bypass is not so pleasant. Because initially, I should have come the regular line. My name was wrote in the book. Then I would have been released from the mind of God, spoke into a word-formed body, and then a glorified body would have come to that one, and I would have been a perfect man. Three parts, but a perfect man. But God had in his program a bypass. Now, it was not that God's artery was blocked or clogged, but God had many attributes that could only be manifested fully through the bypass. Now, if they go straight through the regular line, they cannot be manifest. So God puts a bypass in time and then allows each of us to come through the bypass. Oh, glory to God. Now watch this. In 1 Corinthians 15:31, Paul again says, I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die daily. How many of you fall out the Holy Ghost? Paul born again. Well, what did he have to die to? What was Paul dying to? Watch this. Brother Bam says, and you're bound to be backsliding constantly. It takes a constant prayer to God. Paul said, I die daily. And if Paul had to die daily, how much more am I going to? And I'm going to have to stay there dead all the time. If Paul had to die daily to stay right with God. And so we all have to do that. Just die out to yourself. Amen. Right. And that's getting God's way. There's only two ways of anything. Now, I want you to listen carefully. The There's only two ways of anything. That's the right way and the wrong way. Would y'all say amen to that?
Amen.
Now will you say amen to this next part? And them ways are your ways and God's ways. Now, there's only two ways, right and wrong. That's you and God. And I guess you know which one's right. So we pray for God, he gets straightened out. Huh? There's only two ways, right and wrong. Our way and God's way. Glory to God. You realize most marriage problems, most church problems, most work-related problems, do you understand how much it comes back to this very simple, basic thing? When we don't get our way, we get mad. Well, glory. Man alive, I have to quit preaching on theophanies and preach on this. Do you understand that in all of us, whenever the fall happened, that it instilled that exaltation of our own way? Before the fall, we never had that. It was not there in man. It was not there to be able to feel that way. But when that happened, then it put something else. Look at your children. As long as everything's going their way, oh my, everything is so fine. But take something away from them that they want. Or don't give them this. Or stop at Hardee's instead of McDonald's and they'll make you pay. Why? Because they want their own way. The laity wants their way. This one wants their way. That one wants their way. Everybody wants their own way. Sometimes we even find it in church. We find it in families. A father, a mother, a son-in-law, a daughter, whatever. They want their way done about everything. If they don't get it, they pout. Now some folks get mad. Other folks pout. What's the matter? Nothing. Now I know none of you all even know what I'm talking about. I know this is probably for some poor mortal that's on the internet. You know, and y'all a bunch of little angels here at Happy Valley. You can't even relate to what I'm saying. Because y'all just barely bypass it. I mean, you come with a loop down through the artery down the other side. And you're holding on to it as you go down the yon side. You bunch of liars, that ain't your truth. You're just like all the rest of us. And whenever we get our way, well, we don't like it. But you know what? That's part. Now, you think that this seed of God is laying down inside of this type of a prison house. And this prison wants its own way. And this soul tells it, you're not getting your way. You're going to church. You're going to quit this. You're going to do this. I don't want to. I don't remember asking you if you did. You're obeying me, pal. I'm the control man down here on the soul. You're doing what I tell you to do. But so-and-so ain't spoke to me. I'm going to walk right by him and I'm going to ignore him. No, you're not. That's your way. But I'm under the control of God's way. I'm going to reach out a hand to him. Notice now, Brother Ben said, there's only two ways of anything. That's the right way and the wrong way. And them ways are your way and God's way. If we could get this little simple quote right here tonight, we'd come back this weekend a total change people. Husbands and wives, marriages would be transformed. Church would be transformed. Some of y'all quit grapping about the organs too loud and the drums is too low and the temperature's 1.5 degrees too high. I don't like this and I don't like that. You'd come back there through them doors. I don't care if it's 150 in the shade. I come to worship God. I come to get something from God. I don't want my old way. My way ain't right no how. I want to lay my way on the altar. I like a preacher that preaches. I like. Who cares what you like? We want what God likes. That's what's going to get us out of your friends. Not what I like, not what you like. Notice this. You can't be... Oh, goodness. Surely Brother Lim didn't say that. Man, I love his message, but there's certain things that he said like this. You think, why'd you have to go and say something like that? Because I needed it. That's why. And you got to forget your own way. To get in God's way. You got to get out of your own way to get in God's way. For as long as you're in your own way, you're out of His way. Whew. Brother Donnie, I'm a Christian. Huh? We've got it worse than them out there do. They don't even know the difference between his way and our way. We're the ones that struggles with this, not so much them. And if we're not careful, friend, we'll get it in our mind. Folks, get it in our mind. That fast songs in church and loud music, that's the only way God can move. That's spiritual. But if you slow down and sing, you know, how great thou art. Oh, it's Baptist, really? By whose saying? God inspired the man who wrote it. We believe that. So what is it? It's our way. Oh, I can only receive from a preacher that talks 97 miles an hour. I can't preach from a guy that's slower than Brother Donnie. That's your way. The Holy Ghost inside of you can feed from a man if he says, well, glory to God. John the Baptist went down there. Hallelujah. I'm telling you what, he burnt them old Jezebels up. And you'll say, praise the Lord. I mean, you may want to help him. Come on, man, get it out. Spit it out. But you see, if we're not careful, we'll come to church in our way. We'll worship in our way. We'll pray in our way. Somebody here don't like this. Who is it? Let me look. I'll find them here in a minute. Praise the Lord. Notice now he says, for as long as you're in your own way, you're out of his way. So forsake your way, forsake your thoughts, forsake everything, and just rely on one thing. Oh my goodness. On thus saith the Lord. That's all. Then you know you're right. Now watch. Because these wave loaves were baked with leaven, and a sacrifice of sin offering must be offered with them. Look at this, contending for the faith. We're tempted. All of us are tempted. All of us sin. There's none without sin. Every day you sin. Boy, you legalists, bless your little old hearts, darling. You just, it's burning you up, ain't it? Paul said he had to die daily. So if we sin, if we say we have no sin, the Bible says we make God to lie. Uh-oh. We could not do that, so we sin daily. And it's grace, God's grace, that saves us. Now notice what we do when we're wrong. We don't go around practicing sin now. So, well, prophet said I'm going to sin every day, so I guess I better go out and do a little sinning. You won't have to do that. You'll do it. Much less planning on it. We confess our wrongs. God's just to forgive them. And your confession, notice this. I love this. Your confession, as long as it holds good, your salvation is perfect. But when Christ comes in, you've created. An altar on your heart. You. How could you create anything? I thought God was the only creator. This is one true sign. You're part of Him. When you go to create, one of the first things you'll create is an altar. Not at Happy Valley Church. Not at Branham Tabernacle. But in your heart. Glory to God. Now for those who think the blood's passed and the mercy seat and all that, I feel sorry for them. Boy, they're in a mess of trouble, ain't they? You created an altar on your heart, not in heaven, but on your heart. And your sins are taken daily. The great St. Paul said, I die daily, nevertheless I live. But not me live, but Christ liveth in me. There's the inner veil. Oh, brother, sister. Now watch. So the outside unregenerated part, this is part of the mystery of my life. I don't understand it now. I look at it and I say, why, how come it has to? But one day when I enter into that body I bypassed, from there I'll look back and I'll say, Oh my goodness. If I would have come through this first, I would have never brought that character with me. I would have actually never been tested. So now, when I stand there that day and you stand there that day, and that word, that tried word, will be inside of theophany, and that body, that theophany inside of a glorified body, from within that soul, that tried word, we can stand there and say, we have overcome. And brother, sister, we won't be just saying some words. It will be a reality. Because that word in us would have overcome the worst age that ever was. Now watch this. Again in Melchizedek, we've been looking at this, but let's look at it again. I think it would help us to bring it in light. The predestinated is the only one that's considered in redemption. Did you get it? Let me say that again. The predestinated is the only one that's considered in redemption. People might be making like, think they are, but the real redemption is those that are predestinated. Because the very word redeem means to bring back. Is that right? Yeah. Redeem is something. To redeem anything is bring it back to its original place. Glory. Hallelujah. So it's only the predestinated will be brought back because the others didn't come from there. See? Bring back. Now watch this. Being eternal with him at the beginning. The eternal life that you have. His thought, glory to God, his thought of what you was, only he wanted you. He wanted me to stand in the pulpit, say. He wanted you to sit in the seat tonight. Then we are serving his eternal purpose. You mean now in time, me in a body of time, in a fragment of time, I'm serving his eternal purpose. And the one that left home, oh my Lord. The ones that left home. Oh, you mean so they were there and it was home and they left home on a journey, on a mission, on a purpose, on a rendezvous down through time. That's the boomerang. When you stand there and you throw it. God standing there on the brink of eternity where he was when he threw his seeds down through time. She's about right up here now. She's coming right back up on the last side where he's fixing to reach up and take her. Oh, glory. Why? Because she left home. Now notice what he calls it, home. So it's where you were. It was your home before you was you. Oh. It was your home before you knew you had a home, before you knew who you was. Home, sweet home. There is no place like home. Oh my. And those who left home come down here for what purpose? To be living this kind of a body? Oh no, no. That his word might be tested. And he put the word in the weakest fragment of his creation that he could. A human being. Foxes are still living the way they did after the fall. Squirrels still living the same way they did after the fall. The deer don't live in condos. You don't find a bull elephant down there building a beach house, moving into the beach. He lives basically the same way he did when the first one came out of the Garden of Eden after the fall. Lives exactly the same way. Why? They found that method of nature and it works out there. It's man that's fluctuated. It's man that's dipped in sin, dipped in knowledge, dipped in all these things. It's man that's got worse and worse, and God chose that to put this word in that. Don't put it in the elephant. The elephant's more true to the original nature. Don't put it in the stratosphere. It's more like the original nature. Put it in that which is the weakest, the most feeble, the most changing of all the creation. Humans. Humans. My Lord Jesus. The only one that left home, only come to the earth. Notice your existence. Left home, come to the earth to serve his purpose. But I don't remember that, do you? Any of y'all remember leaving home? Any of y'all remember leaving up there and coming down? Yes, Father, I'll go down, I'll become immortal, I'll do. No, Jesus was the only one that did that. But we are just as much in the program of God as He was, but in the bypass version. He's in the regular line. The straight line. Now watch this. Oh my. The only one that left home only come to the earth to serve His purpose. Is that right? All right. Then after it's finished, it's brought back in a glorified state. It's matured and brought back. Now we see the attributes, sons of His Spirit, have not yet entered the word formed body, a theophany. But a theophany, this body is subject to the word and earnest, waiting for the earnest change of the body. Now listen, one of these days it's going to surprise you how close you and Jesus really are. Listen at the difference between Him and you. It's not near as much as you might think. Boy, some of you woke up. Now listen to this. Lord Jesus. Now the difference between Him and you as a son. The difference wasn't that He was a son and you wasn't. The difference between you and Him as a son. See, He was, at the beginning, the Word in a morphed body. He came in and lived in that, in the person of Melchizedek. Then later we never heard no more of Melchizedek because He became Jesus Christ. Now notice it unfolds itself from the attribute, His name put in the book of life, then from the attribute into Melchizedek, which would appear and disappear, and then He goes off the earth and He comes back again hundreds and hundreds of years later in the form of Jesus Christ. The same thing could have happened to you if you had come the regular line. God could have let you appear in the Old Testament and let you go off the earth and rise again in Laodicea. But He put you in the bypass mode where you come straight from the attribute to the flesh man. Lord Jesus. Now notice He says, the difference between Him and you as the Son, He was at the beginning the Word in a morphed body. He came and lived in that in the person of Melchizedek. Later we never heard no more of Melchizedek because He became Jesus Christ. Melchizedek was the priest, but He became Jesus Christ. Now you, this is the difference between you and Jesus. You bypass that. Oh no, wait a minute. You said, brother, there's got to be a whole lot more. Well, I'm going to take His word over yours any day. So the difference between you and Jesus. He existed before. Appeared. Disappeared. Appeared. Reappeared. But you were not allocated the straight line. But you were put over in the bypass. So that made you ineligible for theophanic appearances. Because you kicked over here in this bypass mode of God's grace and mercy. But you were still a son or daughter of God. Just a bypass one. Notice, you bypassed that because in that form He knowed all things. And you've never been able to know all that yet. So those of you who think you do, I don't know exactly where you fit. You come like Adam, like me. You be, listen, listen, listen at yourself, Brother Jim. You can't become from the attribute to the flesh. One step from the mind of God as an attribute. You stepped from there in this dispensation of time. And wah, wah, wah. Can't you see? That means you're only one step back. Oh, glory! It's not like you're 10 billion miles away. You come straight from the attribute to this. I'm only one heartbeat, only one breath, only one step from going. Lord Jesus. Can't you see, brother, friend, when Brother Branham's carried down the curtain of time? He said, but he looked up there and looked back at his body. Wasn't it 15 feet away? It's not miles, it's dimensions. Lord Jesus. You become from the attribute to the flesh. For what purpose, Brother Branham? To be tempted. Oh my goodness. So then if we preach that we are supposed to be above temptation and trouble and heartache and sorrow, we're preaching the opposite of God's program for our lives. Notice, but when this life is finished here, this earth's a house, this earth a tabernacle be dissolved. We have one already waiting. That's where we go. That is the word. Then we can look back and see what we done. Now we don't understand it. We have never become the word. We just become the flesh man, but not the word. But listen to this. But it clearly makes it clear. You'll never be the word unless you was a thought at the beginning. Now you cannot speak a word until first that word was a thought in your mind. And then once you speak that, then it is a spoken word which originated in your mind as a thought. Notice again, oh glory to God, hallelujah. He says that proves the predestination of God. You can't be the word unless you're a thought. Amen. Can't you see why many folks will never become the word? They can't be. It was not allocated to them from the mind of God. They did not step straight from the attribute to the flesh man. They're creatures of time. They're creatures of time born in this earth, and the merciful, loving Father will give them a choice. And if they want to go, He'll let them go. If they want to come and take of the water of life, He'll let them, but they'll never be the word. Lord Jesus, you can't be the word unless you're a thought. You had to be in the thinking first. Notice this. But you see, in order to stand temptation, you had to bypass the theophany. Now, if you notice here, he didn't say Jesus now. Then in order for Jesus to stand it, but in order for you to, he comes down the regular line so he can be in the theophany. And then he can come down as a man, feel temptation like you and I do, and be able to go right back and revert back into the Father. But you and I are in a bypass mode. So our way is over here. Oh my. Glory to God. Notice, but you see, in order to stand temptation, you have to bypass the theophany. You had to come down here in flesh. So notice, what's you? It's not the flesh. It's not the house you're living in, but you. Oh, glory. You had to come down here in flesh to be tempted by sin. Why? This is part of the secret of your life. It's for God to put this great treasure in a jar of clay. And some of those jars will lean toward smoking. Some will lean toward gossip. Some will lean toward depression. Some will lean this way. Some will lean. And every aspect of sin will be totally conquered before the bride leaves this world. There'll be people delivered out of rock and roll, homosexuality, prostitution, folks that smoke cocaine, crack, and garbage cans, and whatever more they can smoke. They'll be delivered of every devil out of hell. There won't be one devil that'll be left till this bride will be gone. Why? She will overcome because we are His victory. Amen. You believe the church? But you had to bypass the theophany in order to be tested. Notice, and then if you stand, all the Father's given me will come to me and I'll raise him up at the last day. But see, you had to be first.
Let me close. But then you see, he come right down the regular line. Before the foundation of the world, his name is put on the Lamb's Book of Life. So Jesus' name is put on the Lamb's Book of Life. Oh my goodness, friends, it's part of a marriage ceremony, so surely you want the groom's name on there with yours. Amen. Now remember, Logos is not written on the Lamb's Book of Life, but the human redemptive name of God. So his name, no doubt the first one on page one, the top of the page. Whatever God called him, Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus Christ, whatever he called him. His name was put on the Lamb's Book of Life. Then from that, he become the Word. The theophany that could appear and disappear. Then he become flesh and returned back again, resurrected that same body in a glorified condition. Now listen, it's you. But you bypass the theophany and become flesh man. It's, but Jim, it's almost impossible for our little feeble minds to think I come straight from the heavenlies, straight from an attribute of God to this, directly from this. Why is it so hard for us to believe that? Whenever we believe we're going from this earth, we're going back to that. Why is it hard to believe we come from that in the beginning? Do you believe that many of these saints that we're burying and they go by the way of the grave, don't you understand? In one second of time, they're moved beyond that curtain of time. Where? Back home. Back to where they come from. Lord Jesus. But you bypass the theophany, become flesh man to be tempted by sin. Not just to shout, not just to rejoice. That's part of it. But let me tell you something. You'll shout a whole lot longer than you'll be tempted by sin. You'll rejoice and you'll be praising God for eternity. You'll only be tempted by sin for a short span of time. But can you imagine if you live 50, 60 years of your life and that testing of sin at the end of that scale proves faithful? Through eternity, you will be rewarded for 60 mere years of human life. Lord God, you young people think you're giving up so much by living for God. Can you imagine those years in your teens and you give up all of that, my, and you're rewarded for eternity for a few years of pleasure? The secret of our lives. Stand. Oh my, think of it, friends. Let me read you this. It's amazing to me, and you hear so many sermons preached out of Melchizedek. It's amazing to me that you don't hear this dealt with out of Melchizedek. Are we afraid of it? Don't we like this part of it? Man, this is part of who we are. Notice this in paragraph 79. So we have bypassed that to come straight from God. Is there anybody in this place that believes this? Amen. That you come straight from God. Look out, devil! Oh my! Straight from God, the attribute to be flesh. Look at him, he says it again. To be tempted and tested by sin. What is it? It's the testing time of His Word. You want to know where we are? In all this span of time after God's now sent His prophet with a message and taking him off the earth. You want to know where we are? Read your Bible and you'll find out we're in the same sequence of events that has been from the very Garden of Eden. When God allocated His Word, God set forth that Word, then God allowed the enemy a space of time to attack the recipients of that Word. To see what they would do with it.
That's exactly where we are right now. And some are going to do what the Father wants them to do. They're going to take that word in them. Once it's embedded in them, it'll be like it was in Mary. Once she conceived, all hell broke loose. And the prophet said, it'll be the same thing with you. Let's bow our heads together. Hallelujah. Friends, I hope and trust by God's grace, this will help you to see yourself. See how you can feel as if though you're an alien, that you're from two worlds. Because really you are. We can sit here in heavenly places the way we have here in the last little bit. I'll tell you what, Sunday when we were here in the service, I was preaching about that eagle and I started winding up, heading out of that barnyard. I just knew I was going to start flying any time. I thought, Lord, I'm going to take off this platform as sure as there's a world. I'm going to sail over the top of their heads back there. Oh my. But it don't take you long if you get out from that anointing. Boy, you come back to yourself and you get sick or you get a phone call and distress or this, that, and the other. And you get in touch with that other world real quick. But there's something in us. We long for that place where we'll never have to come down. What is it, Brother Gene? It's that attribute that was there, bypassed the theophany, come to this earth to serve the purpose, and it occasionally gets lifted up into that realm. Oh my, it gets so saturated in the presence of God. It don't want to go down again. No, 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 don't let me go down. Oh my. Praise God. But friends, remember, part of the secret of your life is to overcome. For this message to be made flesh in you Happy Valley people. The people in Indiana, Africa, India, around the world. So don't think it's strange that Satan hates you and tries you. And all hell breaks loose around you. The greater the word is, the more you're going to be tested. Don't you see, the greater the word is being formed in you, the more tests will come to test that very word you're receiving. But when the testing of His word is over, praise God, we go back to that we bypassed to come here. And God will do away with all the bypasses. Praise God. And we'll be changed. Let's bow our heads if you would. Maybe some here tonight in the building or some that have streamed the service wherever you are, different parts of the world. Or those that will archive it. Maybe Brother Dennis over in the former Soviet Union translate this into Russian. Maybe a little brother or sister sitting there in their little home watching the DVD. Can't understand hardly no words in English at all. But by the burden on this brother's heart, translating it into a language they can hear. It may be 2 months from now, three or four, before they'll get it. But sitting there, the word of God would have spoke to their heart and opened up part of the secret of their life. Maybe Satan was just wearing them out with trials and tests and things that we're going through. But the word has enlightened them tonight in the face of Jesus Christ. God knows your need. Maybe you're sick, financial troubles, troubles in your home, in your marriage, on your job. Whatever you need, would you just raise your hand to Him and say, Lord, remember me. Remember me, Lord. Heavenly Father, after looking at this tonight, and I have longed to bring this to Him. He showed me this, Lord. It's been a few months back. I've been so anxious to bring it to Him because I felt that it'd help Him. But for whatever reason, You wouldn't let me bring it till tonight. So I know there's a cause. So I pray, Lord, that You'd help each of us. Lord, we can't say that we understand it. We can't say that we know why it works this way. But yet the great display of Your word, we would think would be written on a book and kept up there in heaven somewhere in the sacred places of God. Yet to You, that's not it. It's when that word can become flesh. Isaiah 7:14, Isaiah 9:6, Isaiah 35:3, Zechariah 6:12, Haggai 2:7, all those messianic prophecies. They never caused no trouble as long as it was in the Bible. But when those prophecies was made a human being, that's when trouble started. But at the same time, that's when deliverance started too. Lord help us. Malachi 4 laid in the word for years, hundreds and hundreds of years. Luke 17, 30, Revelation 10. Theologians looked at it. They talked about it. Couldn't really understand it. Never caused no trouble hardly. Till April the 6th, 1909. When a light come into a little old wooden window. A little baby boy was born. You started dealing with that boy. Pillar of fire come. Give him a supernatural visitation. Then all hell broke loose. These scriptures about the bride. Quotes about the bride. Oh my, they've laid in the message. We've rejoiced over them. Because for many years we put the emphasis on the messenger only. But boy, as soon as we started seeing who we were, all hell broke loose around the bride. Funny thing about it, Lord, a lot of our hell breaks loose from the message folks who say they believe it. But we know that's part of it. But we're here to be tested by the word. Will we stand what we know the word says about us and bear the reproach of sometimes even our own comrades? Will we stand it and say, this is my inheritance and you're not taking it away? Hallelujah! Will we stand it, Lord, through fear, unbelief, doubt? As Paul said, we're persecuted and perplexed, not distressed, all that we go through. Help me, Lord, when it's all said and done. Let me come out on the other side. When the testing of this word is over, let it be said to me, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Enter into the joys of the Lord. I will make you ruler over many. Grant it, Lord Jesus. I don't want to be rich, famous, important, or none of that. I just want to overcome and stand the testing of your word. Hallelujah. Oh, praise you, Lord. Can we just raise our hands? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. What about it, saints? This ought to give you a different perspective, hopefully, to see one of the reasons, part of the reason you're on the earth is to be tested. You're going to be tested. And God is not going to keep you from it. It's part of the reasons you're here. Young people, you're going to be tried. Ministers, we're going to be tried. Deacons, trustees, all of us, we're going to be tried and tested. The word must be tested. Not our intellect, not our ability to memorize, but the word, the seat, the anchor of that word down in your soul. Will you give way or will you hold to that word? The real seat of God will hold to it no matter what comes or goes. Mama turns your back on you, daddy, whatever. You're standing right there for that word. It's more than life to you. Oh, hallelujah. Brother Joel Brown, can you come and sing it? Song for us, the word being formed in Mary. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Friends, can you see a little bit of daylight tonight to believe that you come from God? Straight from God. As an attribute to be tested. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
She was a virgin bride to be. And one night as she lay quietly, the Spirit of the Lord overshadowed her.
Glory. Yes, Lord.
And said that you'll conceive.
Hallelujah.
A child that sin cannot defile. And she said, be it unto me.
Listen now.
According to thy word.
What about you, Mary? Oh, yes, Lord God. Yes, Lord God. Jesus. Yes, Lord God. Listen, it's you now.
Through the blood of Calvary.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
And in this time of darkness, we have come.
Yes, Father.
Receive love in the kingdom of the world. Deep.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, be it unto us, Lord God. Be it unto me according to thy word, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, may it not just be for the glory. May it not just be for the shouting and the great wonderful time of the revelation of the word, but for the testing part as well. May I be faithful, Lord. May it not just be when the healing is flowing, when the miracles abound, but oh God, when my faith is being tested, when the word in my soul is being tried, may I be faithful then, Lord, for this truly holds the mystery of my visit to the earth, the secret of our lives. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Oh, grant it, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And the church said, amen.